My name is Max Heller. I get to serve our college and young adults here at Grace, and it is good to be with you together. Michael already talked about how many of us have been following the Camp Mystic story, and our hearts are heavy and breaking for families and campers that are dead and missing. And so many of us feel this story in a very personal way. Months ago, we made a plan to go through this series, and the mother of Moses was planned for today. And I believe that it is in God's timing that we get to share the story of a mother giving her baby to a river. And I know that they're different. Like, I know it's a different story, but it's the same God. It's the same God that she places her trust and faith in. And I believe that it is a message of hope for us this morning. And I am eager and excited to dive into it. Many of you feel this story of Camp Mystic hits close to home for a lot of different reasons. I worked at a summer camp for 9 summers, 119 weeks of camp, 119 opening shows and closing shows, parents dropping off their children and picking up their children. I have a camper of my own this summer. My oldest is going to be a day camper. My wife and I are expecting a daughter soon. There's a lot of reasons why this story might hit close to home. And I want you to know that this morning, I hope that we can focus on two things. The reality of the pain, but also the reality of God, that he's trustworthy. Kurt Thompson has a book about grief and about death, and he says, "We are all on a hell-bent mission to hide from and avoid the reality of life, which means the reality of death. So we avoid listening to what we have been told about suffering from the beginning." This morning is a safe and sacred place for us to explore the reality. This morning is a safe and sacred place in this room, in this time, for us as a church family to explore reality. And my prayer is that we would all be careful not to ignore two things in particular. One is the common pain of Jochebed's story. That's Moses' mother, Jochebed. That we would not ignore the common pain of her story. But also, two, the providence of an uncommon God. The providence and care, the trustworthiness of an uncommon God. There's something common about Moses' mother. Something common about what she's experienced, something common about her pain. It is not her that is uncommon. This is not a character study solely of the mother of Moses. This is a character study of God and his providence, his trustworthiness. Jochebed is the mother of Moses, and her story is one of placing her child in a basket and letting a river take it. I know the stories from Camp Mystic and Exodus have plenty of differences. Like, each of us have differences in our stories. Each of us have differences in our grief. We're waiting for different things, grieving different things, experiencing different pain, relating to the story that we hear in a different way, but something is the same. God is the same, and his uncommon providence over all that we are facing is the same. The power that he has caused each one of us to exist, the power that has caused each one of us to exist is the same power needed to continue our existence. He cares for us, and we can trust him. So let's look at our text this morning. "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. It's amazing. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Today is really about Jochebed's faith and trust in God. Motherhood is not something to be taken for granted, but each of us has a mother. So it is something that we have in common in this series that is called Uncommon. It's possible that we could study the scripture and credit Moses or his mother with being uncommon, but that would be missing the most true teaching this morning. It is God's supernatural working and perfect timing throughout this story of a mother and her child that is uncommon. Did you catch the divine working of God throughout the story? The timing, his care. It is a character study of God, the same God that is working today in you and me. What does faith and trust in God require of you today? Not too long ago on Father's Day, I said something from the stage about a way that we talk to our children, where we ask them to do what we have said because they can trust us. It's a temptation as a parent to say, "Do what I said because I said so. Just do it. Just do what I asked." But we've learned to say, "Will you do what I've asked you to do because you can trust me?" What does faith and trust in God require of you today? What is God looking at you with and saying, "Would you do this? You can trust me. Would you do it? You can trust me." What does faith and trust in God require of you today? I'm well aware that there might be people in the room that would say, "I don't trust God." And my flesh, I am tempted to say, I can understand that. I'd love to know more. I'd love to know why you can't trust God. But something I know is that God is trustworthy. Something I believe is that God is trustworthy. It's a cornerstone of my faith. The God that I have surrendered my life to, I trust. So for those of you who this morning would say, "I can't trust God," I want to tell you, I believe he's trustworthy. I want to encourage you to spend time with him. I want to encourage you to trust him. He is perfectly trustworthy. If we believe in his sovereign grace over our life, then what will be our response today? Dallas Willard says, "Grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning." Grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. If God's grace has moved in your life, what is your response today in trusting him? A step of obedience in trusting God may not be the thing that earns you his grace, but it can be a response to his grace. I'll never forget the moment in college. I'd been walking with God for a long time. My family started going to church when I was about 9 years old. But something clicked in college when I realized that God's grace is something that I get to respond to every morning. It had never made sense to me until I was 19. I'd been walking with God for 10 years. But something clicked in my freshman year of college that I get to respond to the grace of God every morning. Grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. What does faith and trust in God require of you today? What is the step of obedience that we take because we trust God? It may not be much more than reading His word. For you this morning, it might be something like tomorrow morning, you set your alarm clock a little bit earlier and you spend some time with Him. If you trust Him, maybe you'd wake up tomorrow morning and spend some time with Him. But it also might be something like forgiving someone. It might be waiting with hope. What are you waiting for? Can you trust God in the waiting? It might be something that feels like a long time coming. What does faith and trust in God require of you today? In 1998, an animated film called Prince of Egypt was released about Moses and the book of Exodus. Last week, Andrew Peacock asked me if I'd ever seen that movie. I said no, and he was just shocked. He was like, how could you not see Prince of Egypt? I still haven't seen it. Might have been a good resource, you know, in sermon prep. I did watch the song of Moses' mother that she sings. So I watched that two-minute clip. And her first lyrics are in Hebrew. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. And she's comforting her three-month-old son and telling him to not be afraid. And then she says, my son, I have nothing I can give but this chance that you may live, as she places the basket in the river. I have nothing I can give. How common of a feeling is that? Moses' mother is so common. I have nothing that I can give but this chance that you may live. She is believing and trusting in faith in God, that is how Moses would live. Every Sunday morning at 8:30, a group of people gather and pray for our Sunday morning. And this morning, Lillian shared something that I took my pen out and I was like, I gotta write that down, so good. She said, people always assume that she put him in the river out of fear. People always assume that Moses' mother hid him out of fear, but she hid him out of faith. People assume that Moses' mother hid him out of fear, but she hid him out of faith. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Look who it is that they do not fear. Pharaoh. They don't fear Pharaoh. They have faith in God. The mother of Moses doesn't fear God. She has faith in God. Some of the backstory of this whole experience is the story of Joseph. And it's a long one, Genesis, I think, 37 all the way through 50, but I'll attempt to summarize it for you. Joseph is the favorite son of his dad. Anybody else? Okay. Jacob is his dad. And Joseph has these dreams that his family is going to bow down to him, and he keeps rubbing it in his brothers' faces. He had 11 brothers, and he even told them about a dream where the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to him. I don't know about you, but this sounds like something I would do to my siblings. So they did what most siblings do when your brother brags, and they sold him into slavery. Not really, don't do that. Don't practice that at home. He ended up serving a very powerful man in Egypt named Potiphar, and everything he does goes very well, and he gains favor. He gains a little too much favor with Potiphar's wife, but he's not interested, and so she frames him, and Potiphar puts him in prison. The same thing happens in prison, where everything goes well for him, and he gains favor with everyone. He interprets some dreams while he's in prison for some high-ranking officials that Pharaoh put his officials in prison and gives Joseph the opportunity to interpret their dreams. But they forget about him for a pretty long time. And then Pharaoh has a dream that he needs interpreted, and one of the guys remembers Joseph, and they call for him. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams, knocks it out of the park, and Pharaoh gives him tons of responsibility and power. Like all of his other places, he gains favor and responsibility. Eventually, he runs into his brothers who tried to sell him into slavery and say that an animal killed him. And they have come to Egypt because they are hungry. There's a famine. He lets all of his family come live in Egypt with him. And this is how the Israelites end up in Egypt. He blesses his brothers when they think that he is going to curse them, when they think that he's going to do something wrong to them to get payback, he blesses them. But then Jacob, Joseph's dad, dies, and his brothers think, now Joseph is going to give us our payback. And he says something that maybe you've heard before. Joseph says to his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." We get to Exodus, where the people of Israel grow fast and they multiply. A new Pharaoh is put in power, and he's intimidated by the Israelite men, so he decides to make their life super hard, but they just multiply faster. Pharaoh tells the midwives to kill the newborn Hebrew baby boys, but they don't listen to Pharaoh. They don't do it because they fear God, not Pharaoh. When Pharaoh asks them about it, they say that they failed to kill the Hebrew baby boys because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. They give birth so quickly that they couldn't get there in time. I found myself, as I prepared for the sermon, praying for my wife to be like a Hebrew woman. Sorry, babe. I had to. Then Pharaoh tells all of the Egyptian people to throw any Hebrew baby boy they find into the Nile River. And that's where we pick up in our passage. Pharaoh's fear of the Israelite men actually distracted him from the women that God uses to accomplish his plan. The story is not telling us what to do, but it is rather describing who God is and what he has done and how we can trust him. So where are you struggling to trust God? Where are you struggling to trust God? His timing is perfect. All of this story that we read, it is real. It is real people. God's real sovereign grace, his real divine timing. All of this story is under his sovereign grace. Could he be doing the same thing in your life? Could God be doing the same thing in your life? Let's not forget that as we read this story quickly, this happened in real time for the mother of Moses. She can't see her whole story as she lays her child in a basket. She can't see her whole story like we can, but we can see her trust in God. We can see her faith in God. Sometimes we just have to peek beyond the moment that we are in. We know the future. This is a book of the future. Look at the women in this story and the way they feared God. Pharaoh was so worried about being undermined by the men, but it was the midwives. It was Jochebed and Miriam, plus Pharaoh's own daughter who took in this Hebrew boy. So much is missed by not trusting God. Listen, so much is missed by not trusting God. It's like we are afraid to be undermined by life, so we miss the one who created life. It's like we are terrified to be undermined by life itself, the realities of life and death, that we miss the one who created life. Sometimes we get so focused on the moment that we forget we can trust God. What are you struggling? Where are you struggling to trust God? And what are you like in the waiting? What are you like as you wait? In 1993, I had just turned 4 years old, and my parents found out that they were pregnant with a baby. My mom, at 17 weeks, ended up having a miscarriage with that baby. That baby's name would have been Samuel. And I have an almost four-year-old myself. It's heartbreaking for me to think about explaining that to him. And I don't remember much of that. I was young. But as a parent now, I can imagine what it was like for my parents to go through that. July 21st, 1993, is when my parents lost Samuel. 7 years later, my parents found themselves in Russia. My dad had gone on a couple mission trips there, and he invited my mom to come with him. My mom just retired after almost 40 years of medicine. She retired on June 28th from being a doctor. But she was a doctor at the time, and she went with my dad to Russia. And because an American doctor was there at a Russian orphanage, the orphanage directors decided to bring these children before my mom with the little bit of medical records that they had. They brought these children to my mom that she might diagnose them. And they brought in a little boy named Sergei. And Sergei had a long list of things that were wrong with him. One leg was shorter than the other. He was born premature. Many of you know this story or have heard this story before, but God revealed something about himself in a moment when my mother looked at his medical records. Sergei's birth date is July 24th, 1993. And if it weren't, I asked my parents about this actually yesterday, and they said if it weren't for that story, they don't think they ever would have adopted. If it weren't for that moment of having a boy sit on my mom's lap who was the same age that Samuel would have been, they don't know if they ever would have adopted. God is orchestrating something. We don't know what it is. I can't imagine what my life would have been like if my parents had not adopted. 7 years my parents waited, not for a due date, but they waited for a time that they didn't know if God would ever do something with it. And then he did. He has done so much with that one story. Where are you struggling to trust God? And what would change in your life if you trusted him? What would change in your life if you trusted God? What would the waiting look like? What might you surrender to him? What might you do in trust of a God who is trustworthy? Think about the moment that you're in now. And then peek beyond that moment. What is the next step because you trust God? What is the next step for you because you trust God? This morning, we're going to do a few things as a family. One of those is communion. And we're going to get to do that together as a family, being reminded of a God who is trustworthy, who saw our problem. He saw the sin that was on us. The wage of that sin is death, and he sent his son to die on the cross for our sin. God showed us his loving kindness and that he would keep his covenant by sending his son to die on the cross in our place. And we as a family take communion together in remembrance of that. So if you would, take the communion that you got when you walked in this morning. And if you don't have one, I know that they're probably still out there and you can grab one. There's no shame in standing up in the middle of this and going and grabbing one. And we're going to take communion together as a church, as a family of God, in remembrance of what God has done by sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. I want to read to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You can take the bread. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You can take the juice. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. God, thank you that we can trust you no matter what we are walking through, no matter what we are struggling with. God, we can trust you. As an ultimate sign of us being able to trust you, God, you sent your son to live a perfect life, that he would be the perfect and spotless lamb, God, suitable to take on your wrath as payment for our sin. That your son on the cross could proclaim, "It is finished, it is paid." And then he rose from the grave. He defeated death. He ascended to heaven. He sits on the throne. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. God, would you remind us of your grace and lead us to a response. God, we trust you. God, I pray for anyone in this room whose response this morning is to trust you for the very first time. God, I pray that as you soften their heart and as you pierce their heart with this story, that they would trust you completely, surrendering their life to you. And God, I pray for each one of us in this room that has believed in you and on you, that you would help us to trust you with that next step. God, would you help us to surrender all that we are and all that we have planned to you and surrender it completely. God, we love you, we trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing, and I'm going to ask the mothers in this room, I want to prepare you that I'm going to ask you to pray for the people around you. John Piper is a pastor who creates a poem every Advent, and he wrote a poem from the perspective of the mother of Moses. And I want to read this poem for us, and then I would like for us as a church to get with some of the people that you're around, and then for someone to pray for that group of people. But I'd like for the mothers in the room to be the ones that would pray. And I know that that's asking a lot of you. I know that that's a scary moment for an introvert, maybe. But I want to ask you to do that. And I want you to know that what this will look like is when I finish reading this poem, we'll stand up and you'll get in a circle. It could be a small circle. And then someone in that circle will say, I can pray for us. That'll be a mother from this church. And I'd love for you to just pray for your children, pray for this church, pray for what we are talking about this morning, that God would help us to trust him. So I'm asking the mothers in our church to pray that over us today. Okay? Let me read this poem and then we'll do that time. Well, I once had a son who was handsome as could be, but I could not show him off because they'd throw him in the sea. For the wicked Pharaoh said that the Jewish boys must die. So I bowed my face to heaven and I let him hear my cry. Then the Lord looked down and he saw me in the dark and he said, remember Noah? Go and build that boy an ark. So I put him in a basket and I set him out to sail. And I know you won't believe me and you'll think it's just a tale. Pharaoh's daughter took him home and they let me come and stay. And they trained a liberator and Pharaoh paid his way. Listen well now, mighty Moses, and I'll tell you what to learn. There's no mountain in your way now that the Lord can't overturn. The mighty Moses left his place and knelt and put his tear-stained face against her woolen skirt and wept until with weariness he slept. The meekest man of all the earth, protected by the Lord from birth, and while he slept, his mother prayed. And once again, the curse was stayed. Lord, come and raise up mothers here who sing of you and conquer fear. Church, if you would, circle up together. And mothers, if you would, lead us in prayer. Amen. Well, church, our student ministry right now is on mission. And we're getting the opportunity to pray for a couple of those that we're getting ready to send. If you're in the room and terrified to come up here, yep, come up here now. I see you guys. Come on, come on, come on. I see you. We get to pray for some of these students that we're getting ready to send on mission. We've got some ninth graders that are doing mission work here in town this week. Ninth's going to Houston. Junior high's in town. 10th graders are in Ecuador. And our 11th and 12th graders are getting ready to go to Memphis. And so we get this really cool opportunity as a church to send our students. We're sending them with a God who is trustworthy, and we get to pray for them this morning. And so what we want to do is we want to pray for them, but also just be reminded for us as a church that we are being sent to. It may not be that you're going to Ecuador. It may not be that you're going to Houston or Memphis, but you're going out these doors. And we are being sent with and by a God who we trust. I don't know what it requires of you today, but I am praying that and encouraging that you would trust God. So let's pray for these students. If you would, just extend a hand toward them if you're comfortable. God, we thank you for these students that are going. God, we thank you for the way that you send each one of us. And God, we're encouraged to see some of our students on stage that are getting ready to say yes to going where you are sending them. God, we thank you for the work that you do in and through our student ministry. God, we thank you for the team that leads them. And God, we pray for safety. And God, we trust you. We know that we are sending them with you, and you are a God that we can trust. And so God, we pray that this step of obedience, sending these students to go, that this step of obedience would help us as your children to learn and practice trusting you, God. God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Have a great week of ministry.